I was teaching Catullus II on the day Paul died, Pater Deliciae, on the death of Lesbia's pet sparrow. When we got to lines 4 and 5, one of my best students, Jason Steckley, the son in Steckley and Son Funeral Directors, raised his hand. Does this mean she lets the bird touch her, you know, her clit with his beak? The room became very quiet. Except for the sound of the lawnmower outside, I did a double take, looked at the lines again. Et acris solat incitare morsus cum desiderio meo nitenti. Jason, I asked, what are you using for a crib? I was pretending to disapprove and at the same time trying not to laugh. I couldn't imagine myself asking such a question at that age. And in fact, I didn't think the line supported this reading. I'd have to think about it. She offers you her fingertip to nibble and urges you to bite it sharply. And when I did think about it, I did start laughing. It was the sort of thing that if it got back to somebody's mother and somebody's mother complained to the principal. But we had a sort of tacit agreement that things like this didn't get back to anyone's mother. So I kept on laughing. I was laughing on the way home, thinking how I would frame the story for Paul, how much he would enjoy it. But when I got home, Paul was dead, and Lois, my neighbor, was sitting on the edge of the bed. Camilla, the dog on the floor, had not come to the door to greet me. I'm here to help, she said. Just give me a job. Then she added, I already cleaned him up. Thank you, Lois, I said, but I'll be all right. I want you to go deep into yourself, Lois said, and focus on your breathing. It's hard, but I don't want you to worry if your mind wanders. Don't ask where it went. It doesn't matter. Just bring it back to your breathing, in and out, in and out. You can't go deeply into yourself if you allow yourself to be distracted. I want you to slow everything down. You don't have to do anything else. I'll be right here. I've already called Banks's. They'll do the removal after Dr. Franklin signs the death certificate, but you don't have to worry about that. Call him back, I said. I'll call Steckley's. Steckley's? But I already told Jack. Jack was Jack Banks. I don't care what you told Jack. You can tell him to cancel. But Francis, why? Because Jack Banks is a Republican and Frank Steckley's a Democrat. Paul wouldn't want to be buried by a Republican. Besides, Frank's son is one of my best students. But I already told... Do I have to call him myself? Of course not. It's just that... Call him now. I don't want their van showing up here. Call him from your place. I'd like to be alone for a few minutes. I know this is a difficult time. Out, Lois, please. I have some things to say to Paul, and I'd just as soon you weren't fluttering around here. I was just trying to help. You've been very helpful, Lois. Now just go. Alone with Paul and Camilla, it wasn't fear I felt. It was anger. I couldn't shut it off. And I said some hard things. Oh, Paul, 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 I said, running my hand over the stubble on his cheek. We made a mess of things, didn't we? We squandered our last months together, and now it's too late to make things right. It didn't have to end like this. The doctors gave you a year, gave us a year. We had that year together. 1 year, our last year, 12 months, 365 days, more or less. Time to slow down. Time to sit quietly and not trouble the universe. Time to let go. Ah, Paul, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about now, but I know this. We squandered it, half of it. We wasted it. We flushed it down the toilet. You didn't go gentle into that good night. You went cursing and bitching and blaming me for everything. It didn't have to be that way. I did the best I could, but you were angry the whole time. I sold the house because I had to. What else could I have done? You couldn't manage the stairs any longer. At the loft, we've got an elevator. I had to sell most of the books, too, half of them. What did you want me to do? There was no room. I got $5,000 from that dealer in Springfield. It's a lovely apartment with great high ceilings, but all you've done is bitch about your books and about the piano and about the noise the trains make. Galesburg's a railroad town, for Christ's sake. Maybe it was hardening of the arteries. That's what Dr. Franklin said. He thought you might be bipolar, wanted to put you on lithium, but you wouldn't do it. You never played the piano anymore anyway. and Stella didn't have a place for it. The Yamaha piano is perfectly nice. You didn't have to cover your ears every time I played. And you couldn't let up about Stella, could you? Just because you wouldn't let Jimmy drive the stupid car. And Lois was here. I didn't want to call you at school, she says, and she reaches over and touches your shoulder. You were wearing your new Egyptian cotton pajamas from Hamaker Schlemmer. I cleaned him up, she says. There wasn't much. He's hardly eaten anything in the last few days. I'll take care of everything. Think of that, Paul. Lois was the last person to wipe your ass. Lois, the grief counselor. Now she's dating Jack Banks. Dating. Think of it. And all of a sudden she's an expert on death. I'll take care of everything. Then I want you to call Steckley and Son, I said. Steckley and Son, she said. I've already called Jack. As soon as they get the death certificate, they'll do the removal. The removal, I said. That's what they call it, she said. Call them back, I said. Tell them Steckley and Son are going to handle the arrangements. I wish you could have seen the expression on her face. But why, she kept asking. I already told Jack, Mr. Banks. You'd think she was working on commission. I could almost feel Paul's presence, palpable in the bedroom. I lay down beside him and started to run my hands over him, over what was left of him. He was like a spring that has lost its resilience.